Greetings, greetings once again to all my enemies and all my friends. That's right, it's the Weekly Worldview, and I am your host, Doug McBurney. It is the show where we don't take calls, we don't tolerate sponsors, but we do help focus you on the events of the week through the lens of original thought. We are glad to be back. It's not that I was trying to tease or keep you on the edge of the seat as to whether or not I was quitting the show, because I've been thinking about quitting the show. I'm still thinking about quitting the show. It's not that. It's just that we had to leave town suddenly and unexpectedly. Why? Because life is fragile. That's why. And so that happens. But we came back and everything's good. Everyone's alive. Everyone's going to live, at least for the foreseeable future. And so we are back. And it's good to be back, I guess. And maybe not so much. I mean, I'm sick of doing the show, I gotta tell you. And just going through the news after everything we've been through over the past week, I'm thinking, what am I doing this for? But I'll try, okay, one more time. We'll try to get through one more, but what's the big headline of the week? Of course, Michelle Obama's mom died. That's right, Michelle Obama's mother died at the age of 86 years old. She died on Friday morning, and we have a press release. She passed peacefully Friday morning, and right now none of us are quite sure how exactly we'll move on without her. Said a joint press release from the State Department, the Department of Defense, and the White House.
Holy cow!
Yeah, not sure. So, well, I made that part up. It's my joke over the past. Let's see, how long has it been since 2009? It's been 10 years, 15 years. For the past 15 years, I've joked that Michelle Obama's mom is actually running the country. And so now that she's passed, nobody's quite sure how they'll move on without her up there at the State Department or the Department of Defense or at the White House. Although they do, I know how they'll move on without her. They'll move on in a quite politically astute way. Notice how they didn't release the announcement of Michelle Obama's mama's death until... Well, she died first thing Friday morning. They didn't release it until after the evening news on Friday, so as not to interfere with the Trump conviction news cycle that they had going. And I'm sure that was at her request. She was like, if I die, hold it until you get through the... Okay, now, let's see. I mentioned last time that I'm reading a book and that I would get you the title, and I have it now. I'm reading this book. It's called The Counter-Revolution of Science, and it's by Friedrich Hayek. Studies on the Abuse of Reason. This book is Friedrich Hayek's struggle to comprehend and combat socialism without God. And it's painful to read. It's like all of Hayek's books. They're painful to read because... It's painful to read the writings of such an obviously brilliant man, devoid of the wisdom necessary to ward off the impending takeover of the socialist, demonic, maniacal barbarians that Hayek obviously saw coming. I mean, he saw this all coming for his entire career, and he thought he could ward it off through pure intellectual reasoning, and he turned out he was wrong. Because the maniacs have conquered, and it's just painful to read such a smart guy who's just not that wise, that's all. Anyway, do I recommend the book? Man, if you want a headache, get the book and read it. It'll make your head hurt. So you can suffer through some of what I've been suffering through. Get Hayek's book. So it's like, what was his other book? I started to read his other book. I got through like 180 pages, and I couldn't take it anymore. I was like, no, I can't do it. What was it? Human Action. Oh, just, wow. Just painful. Meanwhile, while all that's going on, we have a headline from Sky News, the urinalist at Sky News, which is a British news. It's a propaganda wing of the socialist criminal sex cult that conquered Britain sometime in the 1970s. They have an official propaganda arm called Sky News, where they employ urinalists. And they have a headline, Joe Biden partially lifts ban on Ukraine using U.S. weapons in strikes on Russian territory. That's a headline? There's way too many words in that headline. They could say Biden lifts ban on strikes against Russia. That would be the headline if they just wanted to tell the truth. Biden lifts ban on striking Russia. I could be a headline writer. I could have been a headline writer back before the urinalism schools taught you how to add a lot of words, especially when you're lying or pumping out propaganda. So the headline is Joe Biden partially lifts ban on Ukraine using U.S. weapons in strikes on Russian territory. A lot of extra words. I'll just read, according to U.S. officials, partially lifted the ban on Ukraine using American weapons and strikes on Russian territory. That's the exact same line as in the headline, for crying out loud. So how do you open your story with the exact, is this AI generated journalism? This is embarrassing. The change is understood to apply only to defend Kharkiv, according to reports. So we have according to U.S. officials, we have according to reports. And then the journalists at Sky News tell us Biden has been steadfast in opposition to Ukraine's offensive use of American-made weaponry. Out of concern that the action could be seen as provocative and lead to Moscow widening the war. So I read that and I'm thinking, really? Biden has been steadfast in opposition to
anything?
And by the way, I've never heard of this policy before. Do we have a policy that we're giving Ukraine guns and bombs and they're not supposed to use them against Russia? Is that the policy? Was there a policy? I never heard about this policy until this past week. I don't know where or when anyone ever mentioned this policy ever before, and I don't remember Biden being steadfast about it or anything else. So I just have to ask the question when I read this very wordy headline. When you give a country who's at war guns, do you really have control over how the guns are used? I don't think so, and I think that anyone with an IQ above plant life realizes that when you start giving guns to someone who's at war, all bets are pretty much off. There's a war after all. But so why the headline? And by the way, this headline's been incessantly shoved into the headlines for 48 hours, 72 hours now. It's just below the Trump guilty, guilty, guilty thing is this. What's up with that? Well, there has been no policy. Nobody's been steadfast about the policy. Nobody ever heard of this policy. They're just making this up. This is an intentional propaganda campaign designed to increase tension with Putin and dare him to flip out, strike, do something, just to do anything. And why? I'm not sure. It seems that the powers that be definitely want to have a significant war with Russia. Why? I'm not sure, but they know, I'm sure, and they'll explain later. So there you go. Obvious propaganda churned out by Sky News and then pumped out all over the world everywhere. And we're all supposed to sit here and act like there was a policy and this is all... Okay, I can see that this for what it is. Thank you very much. Meanwhile... A House panel in the United States, Republicans mostly, have approved a measure to rehire troops fired from the military for refusing the COVID-19 vaccine. And I'm just asking, really, would you go back?
Yeah.
If someone fires you for not taking the shot, you would take that job back?
Yeah, okay.
If you would, I'd rather not have you in the military. Thank you very much. Anyone who wants to come back should be banned. All right. Meanwhile, we go to the legacy file where we check in on Joe Biden's legacy. Earlier, it's been a couple of weeks because we had the emergency. We had to leave town. So it's been a little while. Late in the month of May, the Biden Gaza pier, I don't know what to call it, the Biden pier, we'll call it. The Biden pier was hooked up there in Ashkelon, Gaza, or wherever it was. I think it was Ashkelon in Gaza. The Philistia, the land of the Philistines, basically. So the pier was hooked up, and let's see, 11 trucks left out over the pier. Five arrived at their destination, meaning, let's see, I went to public school here. 11 minus 5, is that 7 or is it 6? 6 and 5. So 6 trucks just vanished on the way. So reports are 3/4 of the humanitarian aid transported from the Biden pier to Gaza was stolen en route. En route to the U.S. warehouse, the stuff was stolen. And then whatever made it to the unwarehouse, there's no actual records of who got that or what they had to give the UN guys driving the trucks in order to get the supplies. And then the pier broke apart over the next 2 weeks. It broke apart and washed up on shore. Very embarrassing. I mean, if there were anyone in the government capable of embarrassment anymore, this would have been embarrassing. But, well, that's enough said about that. The Biden legacy washes ashore on Gaza. Meanwhile, from the Mark of the Beast file, so I've got an article from Big League Politics. The author says, well, he's talking about NATO and the fact that NATO has basically gone from a military alliance to some sort of deranged outlet for the promotion of degeneracy and perversion, primarily around the letters LGBTQAI and the plus symbol. It's all of that. So that's what NATO is all about. Since Russia's invasion of Ukraine, says the author at Big League Politics, in 2022, NATO Secretary Jens Stoltenberg has been particularly vocal. He's been vocal, uh-huh. Recently, on May 17th, 2024, Stoltenberg posted up on X on the International Day Against Homophobia, Biphobia, and Transphobia. And he said that on this day, the International Day Against Homophobia, Biphobia, and Transphobia, and every day, all love is equal. I'm slipping into like a Japanese-Chinese thing. I'm trying to do German. I don't know what's going on. So I don't know. It's a multilingual, multipolar, globalist. I'm not sure what's going on with that. Usually I can stick with German all the way to the end. So I don't even know if the guy's German. Jens Stoltenberg. He might be Swiss, and I can't do a Swiss. Anyway, Stoltenberg says LGBTQ plus people deserve respect and dignity. I am your ally. And then he has a hashtag, IDAHOBIT. I don't even know what that means. Ida Hobbit? That's probably some sort of, I don't know what that is. The Big League Politics go on to remind us that NATO was founded in 1949, ostensibly to counter the Soviet Union. The Soviet Union collapsed sometime around 35 years ago, but NATO's still around. And since then, they've intervened in the Balkans on the wrong side. And then they intervened in Libya and basically created a catastrophic decade for the entire Arab world. NATO now teams up with a consortium of nonprofit organizations to promote deviancy and perversion through soft power. That's right. If you don't sign on to the LGBTQI plus agenda over at NATO and go to some of their parties, And I don't know, get in bed with the likes of Jeffrey Epstein or whoever replaced Jeffrey Epstein. If you don't go along, well, eventually, well, first it's soft power. They'll just start cutting off money and slush funds and things. And then eventually, if you're, eventually it's like with Russia, they'll eventually start bombing you. That's what it sounds like when the NATO guys sneak into your apartment and wire up all the cameras. If you're, well, that's if you're on board. They do that for each other voluntarily. So that's Jens Stoltenberg. Big League calls him a lunatic NATO leader. Doing the bidding of... the guy that Friedrich Hayek is not aware of, the devil. Friedrich Hayek didn't believe in the devil, didn't believe in God. And so, although he saw the barbarians at the gate, he didn't know what to do about them. And he talked and talked and talked and explained and reasoned and reasoned and reasoned, and they conquered the world all around him. So we're here at the Weekly Worldview because we do know what to do. We've already extricated ourselves, and we invite you along to get out from under the collapsing calliope that is satanic Western civilization at this point. We invite you, but we can't make you go. We can't make you come along. So you're going to do what you want to do, and reading the news and watching what's happening. It's all getting very depressing, and it's as if maybe I just don't even want to, I don't even want to comment on it anymore. Let's try to go forward from the Stone Age file. We have a story from News Nation, which is embarrassing that I have a story from News Nation. That's you know what, News Nation, it sounds like it's like a group of cheerleaders who decided to do the news. What is that, News Nation? All right. Mexican cartels are taking over in Mexico. So we know they've been dealing drugs. We know they do with the human trafficking, the kidnapping, and the buying and selling of human beings and the merchandising of men's souls. We know all that. Well, now they are moving in and extorting money from all kinds of businesses throughout Mexico. They are taking cash, basically shakedown operations, intimidation operations against local fishermen, chicken vendors, trucking companies, lumber operations, and now the tortilla industry. Oh, no. Uh-huh. You remember we reported on the avocado industry a year or two ago, how the cartels have basically taken over the avocado industry. They just took it from the farmers at gunpoint, and the farmers were basically helpless. Mm-hmm. It's a tragedy. Well, now they're moving on to the street vendors, and basically the criminal gang is taking over Mexico in broad daylight in front of God and everybody, and now they're taking over the tortilla industry. And, yeah, about 2,000 neighborhood storefront tortilla businesses are being extorted, as far as we know. It's probably a lot more. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, it's getting as bad as New York City or Detroit. To try to run a bodega, you got to pay the, you know, you, but this could be the, you know, the devil often overplays his hand. And this could be the gangsters want to take over the tortilla industry. And I'm telling you, in Mexico, tortillas, I mean, bread is the staff of life, tortillas. So the people might just draw the line. And yeah, they might just hammer their pruning hooks into swords here over this with the tortillas and start fighting. Eventually, if you're being robbed blind to your face from your own store and your own family is threatened, at some point, you have to pick up a weapon and fight if the government won't help. And so I predicted that the tortilla industry is going to be the downfall of the Mexican cartels. They shouldn't have went that far, because the average Mexican will kill you over tortillas eventually, and as well they should. So let's hope. Let's hope that the Mexican government realizes. Okay, although they are the cartels, yeah. So yeah, that's the difficulty, which is why the bodega owner, the tortilla manufacturer, they got to pick up a gun, and it's sad. Meanwhile, while that's all going on, while the cartels are taking over every aspect of Mexican life, the government there is about to let Mexico City run out of water. Water, I said. That's why this is from the Stone Age file. Because all the things that we take for granted, like running water, there are governments around the world right now where their populations are on the verge of running out of water. South Africa, we reported on, and now Mexico City. Scientists have warned, says the headline. So I know, stop. Because now you're like, okay, well, maybe I'm not going to take this seriously. Scientists warn about a lot of stuff lately, and so I know you're suspicious already, but just hear me out. Scientists have warned that Mexico City could run out of water any day now. Uh-huh. So there's a reservoir that provides about 25% of the city's water, a reservoir system, and that's essentially bone dry. And now the only option is for them to take water from aquifers underneath the city, directly under the city. But the foundations of the city actually sit on top of the rock that would be undermined by pumping the water out of the aquifers that is directly under the city. So if you take the water you need to live, your city will sink into the, will collapse into the earth. You can't make this up. God couldn't have written a script against the communist, criminal, socialist maniacs any better than what's going to happen to Mexico City. They're going to run out of water, and then to save themselves, they're going to collapse their city into a sinkhole. So, and then maybe they'll learn. Probably not. So this is embarrassing. The city or much of it will be destroyed if they start pumping out the water. That's a bad situation. So why are the reservoirs dry? Of course, scientists warn, and they say that it's climate change. Years of abnormally low rainfall, longer dry periods, and higher temperatures have added stress to a water system already straining to cope with increased demand because of population. So that's it. It's climate change and population. It's not the fact that criminals have stolen and busted out everything and robbed everyone blind for the better part of 200 straight years down there, and they're just coming to the end where they can't even get water to the people. The reason the reservoirs are empty is because people have been busy robbing one another rather than paying attention to the fact that the reservoirs were running out of water. Because reservoirs that are running out of water, you can fix that. But you have to be paying attention. You can't be robbing everyone. Okay. And the population, well, you would need a population to notice that the reservoirs are running out of water. If you don't have any population, nobody notices it. And eventually, your city collapses into an embarrassing heap. Politicians in Mexico are downplaying any sense of crisis. Of course they would be. But Mexico City could be barreling toward day zero in a matter of months when the taps run dry. So, I mean, this is just this is a harbinger of things to come. Ancient apocalyptic type events that we would have never thought will begin to descend on modern cities as the reservoir of God's mercy is exhausted by the wickedness of the world. And God doesn't have to reach down and put his finger on it or do anything. He built it into the system. It's like the reservoir being underneath Mexico City. It's just the way God made it. And if you become too wicked, you'll destroy yourself with the earth. It's almost poetic. It's almost biblical. In fact, it is biblical. If Mexico City collapses itself into a sinkhole because it ran out of water because of a bunch of communist degenerates, that will end up in the Bible. All right. Now, so we go from Mexico, we come up to California, which very little difference, but we have a state senator there named Susan Eggman. Susan Eggman is a degenerate Democrat communist maniac who has spent her, she's 63 years old, which means she spent a significant part of her life destroying California. And now she's starting to get a little nervous about it. She was caught on tape discussing legislation that would make it a felony to purchase or solicit a minor for, I don't have to tell you, you know. Did you know in California it's not a felony to purchase a minor for illicit purposes? Did you know that? I did not know that. I assumed that that was a really serious felony, even in California. By the way, the urinalists at townhall.com, they say it's to purchase or solicit a minor for blah, blah, blah. Okay, so what it should say is it's not a felony in California to kidnap and rape a child. It should say, because that's what that is. So it's not a felony in California to kidnap and rape a child or to even attempt to do so, which it should be a felony. To even attempt to kidnap and rape a child should be a felony. It's not in California. And so a bill has come up to make it a felony, and Susan Eggman looks at the bill, reads it, and she says the following. She says, quote, "I'm done with us protecting people who would buy and abuse our children," unquote. Did you hear what she just said? This is someone who's been in the legislature in California. She's 63 years old. I don't know how long she's been in the legislature. She's been long enough there to say, "I'm done with us protecting people who would buy and abuse our children." She's basically admitting what they've been doing. She's admitting it. And she's saying that she's getting a little uncomfortable with it. She's been protecting people who would buy and abuse our children. She said, "I don't want people buying girls anymore." Anymore? Excuse me, what did you just say? Did you say anymore? And then listen to this, the final quote, quote, "I'm tired of saying it's okay," unquote. Excuse me, did you say you said it was okay? Who said it was okay? None of us ever said it was okay. Are you saying that you people in the legislature have been protecting people who buy and abuse children, that you have known people have been buying and abusing girls? You say you don't want that to happen anymore, and you're tired of saying it's okay. Are you saying you said it was okay? Because if that's the case, you should be arrested right now. So this is a Democrat, deviant, pervert, corrupt, psychotic maniac in the legislature admitting what they've been doing, and now she's getting a little uncomfortable about it. And they're thinking about maybe making it possibly, and she just said it. Let's see. Town Hall goes on to report that under California law, buying or soliciting a child for, okay, let me just read it the way it would be written by a journalist instead of a urinalist. Under California law, kidnapping and raping a child is a misdemeanor, punishable by 2 days in jail and a fine. To kidnap and rape a child, 2 days in jail and a fine. The new bill would increase the penalty to at least 2 years in prison and make you register as a sex offender. Now listen, we've got another quote here from Eggman. Susan Eggman. She's not just the walrus, she's the Eggman. And she says, quote, "We have given away enough on this area and we've got to move back into the center or we all look like fools and laughing stocks."
That's why.
Uh-huh. That's Eggman's motivation. She's not just the walrus. She's the Eggman. She admitted that she's been a party to facilitating the kidnapping and raping of children. And now she's concerned that it will reflect poorly on her. Uh-huh. That's so now she's motivated to introduce a law or to at least debate a new potential law that doesn't have a clue as to how to actually stop the kidnapping and rape of children. Why? Because she has no actual desire to stop the kidnapping and raping of children, and I don't know why. I can't look into her head or her heart and figure out what her motivation could be, because as far as I knew, everybody wants to stop even the potential for the kidnapping and raping of children. Doesn't everybody want to stop that? It turns out no. It's the Weekly Worldview. I'm your host, Doug McBurney. So what do you do when you just have a revelation of a crime in progress by the government? It's very frustrating. Very frustrating. And people are freaking out that people are all agog at the fact that there's been a Soviet show trial in which the leading presidential candidate of one party has been convicted by the sitting president. Everyone's freaking out. We got legislators facilitating the kidnapping and raping of children and admitting it. So color me not so freaked out about the rest. All right, now, from there we go to the Straight to Hell file, where we check in with a person who at the moment is on her way straight to hell. And I'm not sure if I have her name or if I even want to give her name. I don't think I want to give her name. This is from justthenews.com. The mother of Hunter Biden's child has written a book. Uh-huh. That's right. The book will be released. I'm not going to give the date. I'm not going to promote this at all. The publishing company calls the book a brave and honest memoir. A memoir. Mm-hmm. Recounting the chaos, the broken trust, and the incredible love she found mothering and protecting the grandchild of the sitting president of the blah, 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 blah. The publishing company and the I forget this woman's line of work. Forgive me. I forget what she was doing when she met Hunter Biden. But what she's done now is she's found incredible love, mothering, and protecting the child. She put a picture of herself and the child on the cover of the book. The kid's maybe 4 years old. This pig puts her on the cover of the book that she's going to release the week of the DNC convention. She's going to put the child's face on a book that she's peddling to the whole world. But you know, she has found, she's found love, mothering, and protecting the child. So, I mean, obviously she was willing to go to work for Hunter Biden strictly for the cocaine, and now she's willing to put the kid on the cover of the book just for a pile of money that'll be gone in 15 minutes. That's why she's on her way straight to hell. I hope she finds Jesus Christ. I really do. Because to be this awful and horrible of a human being, wow. Anyway, finally, someone's giving Hunter Biden competition in the worst human being alive contest that's been going on. And it turns out they know each other. All right. Now, speaking of the Soviet show trial that just concluded and the conviction that I got to tell you, I've been kind of surprised I can't say I'm surprised. I'm somewhat troubled by the fact that this has taken all the oxygen out of the room, that this is the story. that, but that this it is what it is. Look, I'm even talking about it. So maybe I shouldn't. Anyway, former U.S. Attorney Brett Tolman says he predicts the judge will give Trump jail time. I predict he will give him some jail time. Trump will actually be arrested, put in handcuffs, and led from the courtroom into jail. Okay, so I predicted that they would put Trump in jail after they raided Mar-a-Lago. I said, if they'll do this, they'll arrest the guy. And now that he's gotten, his polls are up and fundraising is up, they're definitely going to arrest him. Tucker Carlson says that they might even kill him. And, of course, once he's in jail in New York, all bets are off. I mean, ask Jeffrey Epstein. You don't want to go to jail in New York if you're the enemy of high-powered members of the cult. That's not a place you want to end up, is in a jail cell in New York City. But that is where they're going to put Trump. That's my prediction. So we've got Soviet-style show trials that are relatively meaningless, because whether Donald Trump or Barack Obama, whoever took over for Barack Obama's mother-in-law, whether they win or the other guy wins, that doesn't matter all that much. What really matters is that we have state legislatures facilitating and confessing to the kidnapping and rape of children right in front of us on the news, and nobody seems to know what to do. And we have this fellow, the emblem of America, circa 2024, from the Justice File. An 81-year-old man has been arrested. He was accused of firing ball bearings from a slingshot at local homes all around his home for the better part of 20 years. That's right. I'm sorry, 10 years. So there's been a lengthy investigation, and it brings an end to serial ball bearing attacks through windows in homes in a particular neighborhood that have been going on for almost 10 years. The guy who's arrested, his name is Prince King.
Wow.
Prince King has been arrested for serially shooting ball bearings at everything in his neighborhood. Why? He's just upset about everything. They say, police say they don't know any motive beyond malicious mischief, which means he's just been in a bad mood for 10 years. And so he shoots ball bearings out, which could kill someone, by the way. You shoot a ball bearing, it hits somebody. Anyway, this guy should be put to death. Prince King. I can't remember which founding father it was. I was going to make a note before the show, but I didn't care enough. But one of the founding fathers said of democracy that he would prefer to be ruled by one tyrant 5,000 miles away than 5,000 tyrants 1 mile away. And the 5,000 tyrants were Americans that he would. And this guy, Prince King, is one of those. His name is Prince King, and he tyrannized his neighbors for 10 years. And he's emblematic of America. That's America circa 2004. The guy's 81 years old. Our grandfathers and great-grandfathers behave like petty thugs motivated by malicious mischief. That's right. This guy was not a part of America's greatest generation. No. So what is 81 years old? He couldn't have even been. He's a baby boomer. This guy is emblematic of the baby boomers, and his name, Prince King, is emblematic of what happens in a democracy. Eventually, everyone becomes a tyrant in their own little world. And shooting ball bearings out of a slingshot, he should be put to death. Speaking of being put to death, we go to the Scott Peterson file and we check in with the Innocence Project, of whom everyone associated with the Innocence Project should be rounded up, put on trial, and if what they've been trying to do turns out to be true and they're convicted, they should all be put to death. Listen to the latest from the Innocence Project. A judge in California has agreed to allow new DNA testing on one of 14 pieces of evidence in the Scott Peterson murder case. This is the case where the husband obviously murdered his pregnant wife, obviously threw her in the ocean, and then her body quite obviously washed up with all the evidence on it. This is the most obvious murder in the history of murders. The husband was having an affair. Do you guys remember this? We all remember this, right? Actually, there's a lot of people who don't remember this. There's young people in their 20s, early 30s. They have no idea. And they see that this guy's been convicted of murder, and all these lawyers say we should retest it. DNA testing in 2004, that was like the Stone Age. We might be able to crack this case wide open. So San Mateo Superior Court Judge Elizabeth ruled that a piece of tape found on the murdered, mutilated body of Lacey Peterson could be re-examined using modern DNA technology. You know, because that DNA technology back in 2004, that was, you know. The item previously underwent testing, but it yielded only traces of genetic material too small for any conclusive results. And so the lawyers at the Innocence Project say, that's probably the killer. The one piece of evidence that didn't scream Scott Peterson, that's probably the killer, and we need to get it because then we can find the killer. Yeah. The alleged judge says that with the advances in DNA testing, there could be a different outcome. Uh-huh. There could be a different outcome to the DNA test on this particular piece of tape. And the lawyers at the Innocence Project know that if they can get a different outcome on one piece of tape, it's possible they get a different outcome on the whole trial. It's possible. It's possible. They asked for retesting on items from Peterson's vehicle that were previously tested and showed no new DNA. They wanted to test a hammer and a glove that were from an unrelated burglary and there was no proper chain of custody. They wanted to test anything they could to muddy the waters, to throw up anything that might stick to the wall so that one of them might be the lawyer to spring Scott Peterson. That's what they want. The lawyers at the Innocence Project have become so twisted and sick and demented that they're literally living a contest to see who can spring the most obviously guilty murderer. That's the goal of every lawyer on the Innocence Project. And getting Scott Peterson off would be the equivalent of achieving cold fusion for the lawyers, the lawyer who springs Scott Peterson over at the Innocence Project. That's right. Who can come out on top of the pile of lawyers in the contest to spring the most obviously guilty convict? That's what the Innocence Project has degenerated into. And that's why I'm calling for the immediate arrest of everyone associated with the Innocence Project and Superior Court Judge Elizabeth and anyone else associated with the obvious attempt to debase justice and to corrupt this country any further, as if we can stand even one more. As if we can stand even one more. They all need to be arrested, put on trial, and if convicted, duly put to death, and publicly and painfully. View. Yes, and we're back. Thank you, boys. Appreciate it. Yes. We go from the degenerate contest over at the Innocence Project. We go from there into the bad religion file at the public schools in Louisiana. The Representative Doty Horton, okay, which is obviously a pseudonym. That's a made-up name. Designed to disguise this person because I don't know why. Representative Doty Horton is allegedly a Republican in Louisiana. And Doty, a boy, girl, I don't know. What is a Doty? Wasn't that Diana's boyfriend's name was Doty? So maybe Doty's a guy? Princess Diana's boyfriend, Doty Fayed, died with her in the car there. The flames and the crushing, ripping. Doty Horton, a Republican of indeterminate sex in Louisiana, has introduced a bill that was passed by the grand old party-led House of Representatives there. A bill to require schools in Louisiana to post the Ten Commandments. Mm-hmm. The Republican-controlled Senate also passed the bill. Uh-huh. Doty said, quote, "I'm concerned with our children looking and seeing what God's law is," unquote. You know, in between classes on atheism, transgenderism, communism. I want the kids to see what God's law is. Uh-huh. Okay, and then we have a comment from a Democrat, because, you know, the Democrats are bad. They don't want the Ten Commandments in the schools. It's because they're bad. The Democrat says, "I didn't have to learn the Ten Commandments in school. We went to Sunday school." You want your kids to learn about the Ten Commandments? Take them to church, unquote, says the faggot Democrat. So here's the thing about you Republicans, especially the ones of you sending your kids off to the government schools. Don't compare yourself to lisping faggot Democrat perverts and think that you're doing okay. Okay, just because the fact that you want to put the Ten Commandments into basically a house of ill repute where you send your children every day, it's worse than being a lisping faggot creep Democrat. That's what it is. Calling yourself a conservative and handing your kids over to the enemy every day to be psychologically molested at best, and then thinking that you can put a fig leaf over it by slapping up the Ten Commandments in the schoolhouse. It's despicable. You should be ashamed of yourselves. Yeah, you're worse than the Democrat creeps. All right. You're not worse than the California Democrat who's been trafficking and raping and molesting children. You're not as bad as her. But that's even a lower bar, okay? Speaking of a low bar, let's go to Gavin Newsom. Speaking of a criminal gang that runs a state, and obviously now we know that the criminal gang running California, they're not just about stealing everyone's money and partying at the French Laundry every weekend. That's not what it's all about. It's also about the kidnapping and raping of children. And Gavin Newsom is the governor, so he's at the very top of the pile of the criminals doing that. He's at the top of the gang that this woman just confessed to in front of God and everybody, to a newspaper reporter. She confessed it. On a lighter note of Newsom's criminal behavior. Yeah, this is the least of, compared to what she confessed to, this isn't that much, but Newsom promised 1,200 tiny homes for homeless people in California. He made the promise about a year ago. He said 1,200 tiny homes will be purchased by the state to shelter homeless residents. To shelter homeless residents? Is that real? Does anybody speak English anymore? By definition, you're not a resident. You don't have a residence. You're a bum. How can they call a homeless? So who is this? CalMatters.org. So this is probably some communist website. I don't know if they're conservative or not. Oh, they claim to be conservative, but they call the homeless residents. Okay. Let's see. So he promised 1,200 tiny homes. More than a year later, none of those tiny homes have welcomed a single resident. So they see they could have been residents if they'd have been invited into their little home, but they haven't. Tiny home, I'm sorry. And anyway, only about 150 of the tiny homes have actually been purchased. And the guy who builds the tiny homes, he's upset. Because he had the contract. Thought he had it made in the shade. His name is Cam Valgardsson. Right? So when the newspaper reporter came up to him and said, hey, can I get your comment on the story? What's your name? The guy was like, Cam Valgardsson. He doesn't want anyone to know who he is. So this is probably like some third cousin of some wife of some donor of Gavin Newsom who got the contract. And he's one of six vendors in the state chosen to supply the tiny homes. And he's upset. Why? Because he says, I'm absolutely shocked that we've received no orders. And the big problem is that the homeless people aren't getting served, said Valgardsson.
Sure.
Right? Uh-huh. Okay. So the guy with the obviously fake name gives an obviously fake answer for why he's totally shocked. He's absolutely shocked that he didn't get the orders because the fix was in. He got the contract. Hey, I'm married to the guy's wife who was the cousin of the mayor, the governor's. The deal was done. I didn't get any orders. What's going on? So he obviously forgot to grease some politician. He forgot to give 10% to the big guy somewhere along the way. Uh-huh. He says something in the system is broken. Uh-huh. And now we have the reporters here at calmatters.org. They say, in some cases, it's difficult to know exactly what's holding up these projects. Really? In some cases, it's difficult to know exactly? Okay, there's way too many words. You should just say, nobody knows what's going on here. But it looks crooked and it stinks. That's what you should say if you're actually a reporter. Hey, what disrupted the bribery and graft process here? It was somehow disrupted. Let's figure it out. Maybe we get to the bottom of the crime, says the reporter, unless you want to put me on the payroll. I don't know. What's up with the reporters? Are they hoping that maybe if they don't report this accurately, they'll get a cut of the graft? I don't know. It's like we used to have reporters, like breaking the story on the governor, obviously robbing and taking advantage of poor homeless bums, stealing the money, greasing his relatives and donors with contracts, and then he doesn't fulfill the contract. Anyway, there's a story there, I'm telling you. If you were actually a reporter, it's just screaming out, but kind of like the confession of the legislator to the kidnapping and the rape that she confessed to. That there's a story there, I'm telling you. All right. Now, so that was California. So from there, we go to California, where we have a story from fakewire.com. I'm sorry, it's Faithwire. Faithwire.com. And they talk about a massive gathering across California that's happened. This was a couple weeks ago, because we had, like I say, we had to take off. There was a massive gathering where they broke a record. The nation's largest ever mass baptism. That's right. The mass baptism was part of an event called Baptize California. Uh-huh. And it unfolded at various locations throughout California. And the main stage event was at Huntington Beach. So you have a main stage event. Okay, that's why this is from the Damp Religion file. Damp Religion, yeah. So if you're going to a religious service and there's a main stage event, you should understand that that has nothing to do with Christianity or Jesus Christ or anything at all to do with anything to do with that. The fact that there's a main stage event should be the red flag. I'll get to that. Let's see. This is from fakewire.com. I'm faithwire.com. They say the two-day extravaganza was showcasing countless examples of life change and spiritual renewal. There were speakers, there was worship music, there was guitar, there was smoke pots.
What?
There was CGI graphics on the big screen. And there were over 6,666 people baptized just at Huntington Beach alone, the main stage event. There were an additional 6,666 baptized in churches across the state of California during this extravaganza. It was Baptizalooza. Anyway, listen to this. CBN, let's see here. The guy who founded the event, alleged pastor Mark Francy. Pastor Mark said, "You can smell another great awakening." Unquote.
Okay.
Uh-huh. He said, "You can smell another great awakening." And then he said to CNN, "God lit a match." Maybe not realizing that you shouldn't say lit a match in association with what you smell, because it might be implying that God lit a match because he didn't really appreciate what he smelled. And so he lit a match. Anyway, let's see. Francy, listen to this. He shocked the nation last year, according to FakeWire.com. He shocked the nation last year with his previous baptized SoCal event, where he broke the largest record in U.S. history for baptisms at 4,200. Now, listen, I didn't know there was a record for mass baptisms. I didn't know we had one of those.
It's on the Guinness.
It must be in the Guinness Book.
I don't know.
The Guinness Book of World Records has a mass baptism record. And now there is going to be a yearly contest for who can out-baptize the other. You've got that record, by the way, was held by Francy until it was upended by Pastor Greg Laurie when he baptized over 4,500 people and drove Francy out of the record books until this year. With Francy now with two groups, each with about 6,666 people in the mass baptism. Pastor Francy says, "My wife Rochelle and I could hardly sleep thinking about how God could be so kind to let us be part of the largest baptism in the history of America." And the crowd went wild. Basically, he's implying that God designated him to break the record. That's what he just said. I mean, his wife said that. He says, "We are proof that God can really use anybody." That's right. Even a phony baloney, fake phony Christian, fake phony pastor with your fake phony baptisms.
That's true. Because of this, maybe be two people actually become Christian.
Well, I don't know about that. I don't know if any of them.
No, maybe.
So here you've got a guy who doesn't even understand the Bible, who thinks you got to get dipped in water to become a Christian. And he's organizing mass baptisms to what end? Well, I suppose you could be right. Out of the two groups of about 6,666, it's possible that two people actually got saved. But it's more than likely that it was nominal people who don't actually understand Christianity who just wanted to get baptized to be a part of the great mass baptism to break the record. Because one thing Christians will do, they'll get baptized more than once. You know, just in case the first one didn't stick. You know, I'm not sure exactly how God wants me to be baptized. I was sprinkled, now I need to be dunked. I know that I need to be baptized to be a Christian, though, which is not true. You don't have to be baptized in water to be a Christian. And if you think you do, you don't understand Christianity and you should not be a pastor. You should be organizing main stage events somewhere. That could be, but you shouldn't be calling them Christian. That's all. Francy says, he does say that a Satanist accepted Jesus. Listen to this. I might have to take back everything I said. Francy said, a Satanist accepted Jesus and immediately got water baptized. You could see the change immediately in the Satanist. Yeah. I'm not sure how. Maybe the Satanist tattoos were all washed away in the water in the baptismal, or...
Maybe he turned blue
because
it's so cold.
I don't know. How could you see the change immediately in the Satanist? Okay. So, should I take back everything I said about baptisms being fake, phony, fake, phony? No, I'm not taking any of it back. Not all baptisms. I'm sure some sincere people get baptized because they simply don't fully comprehend salvation by grace and the fact that you don't really need to do anything except believe and trust. But most of the baptisms, they're fake, phony, fake. Okay, that's all. And especially these, the 6,666 that broke the record. Well, fake, phony, nothing. All right. From there, we go to, should we go anywhere from there? I mean, once you've baptized 6,666 people, you can't really go on with the show. That's pretty much the, that's a show closer event.
I don't know.
The baptizing of, well, let's see. I don't want to do that. I've got to, no, I see if, a new zombie drug. So you heard about now we all know about the fentanyl, right? It's bad. Right, you take fentanyl, it basically knocks you unconscious, I guess. I mean, I've never taken it myself, but I see people on it, and they seem to take it, and they just, like, nod off into zombie land. That's fentanyl. Well, then the new one came along, the horse tranquilizer called xylazine. You remember that one? Trank. Uh-huh. And that, you just took it, and you literally fell over. Or you were like, you were paralyzed.
Oh, maybe that's what the Satanists took it.
Maybe that's how you could see the difference, yeah. Right?
Anyway.
The xylazine washed right out of his body. It was like a hit of Narcan. So baptism was even more effective than Narcan for the Satanists that day. Well, okay, so now we saw the trank. You've seen the trank, right, in Philadelphia with the paralyzed people zoning out. I guess they're having fun. I don't know. Well, now there's a new one. Anyway, the horse tranquilizer, apparently not enough. Being paralyzed, unable to move, speak, or stop from drooling on yourself, apparently that's not fun enough. So there's a new one now. I'm not going to name it, but it's a synthetic drug used as an animal tranquilizer. And I'm like, wait a second. I thought the xylazine was an animal tranquilizer. It's a horse tranquilizer. So what's this new one? What kind of animal are you tranquilizing with this? You got something stronger than the
behemoth.
Is this for behemoth or leviathan, right? I don't know. So this new one is 1,000 times stronger than the other one. I don't know how.
It doesn't kill people.
Let's see. It reportedly causes heightened sedation and profound bradycardia, slowed heart rate, which, you know, that's all. That's a blast. It's worsening the scene in the Kensington neighborhood in Philly.
What's up with that?
I know. The Kensington neighborhood is where they had the people with the boils and the festering. They're unconscious under the bridges. They say that the Kensington neighborhood in Philadelphia, home to one of the biggest open-air drug markets in the U.S. And so the average person, sane person reading this article, says, I didn't know there's an open-air drug market in Philadelphia. Why is that? And can we stop that? Well, apparently we can't stop that. So I didn't know there were open-air drug markets in the United States. We have open-air drug markets where people, like, buy and sell drugs and overdose and die in the streets, and we can't stop that? I guess when the government's busy managing the kidnapping and rape of children, that they lose track of things like open-air drug markets. And so we can stop that. I could stop it. I mean, I can't stop it, but I know who can stop it. And we could stop it, but it's not going to stop until... I'm not really sure. Oh, yeah, that's it. What we need to do is we need to get a baptism event going. We need to send Pastor Laurie and Pastor, whatever his name there. We need to send both of them into the Kensington neighborhood in Philadelphia and start organize a main stage event. And they can wash the xylazine, the trank, and the fentanyl right off the people. You'll be able to see the change immediately. It'd be amazing. All right. Well, so I didn't know there could be another worse zombie. Oh. One of the social workers was offended by the use of the term zombie drug.
Why?
Because these are individuals with lives and families. Many of the clients I treat on a daily basis are incredible people.
What?
This drug does not make them zombies. They're humans experiencing a chronic disease. A chronic disease? This is a brand new drug that nobody ever heard of outside of the elephant tranquilizing community. How could this be a chronic disease? He says, they're not zombies. This drug might impact their ability to communicate effectively when they're intoxicated. Okay, well, that's the definition of intoxicated, is that it affects your impacts your ability to communicate effectively. Well, and with this, you're actually paralyzed and unconscious, which that will limit your ability to communicate effectively. That's according to addiction medicine specialist. Addiction medicine specialist? I don't even think I know what that means. And this guy's a doctor. Dr. James Basante is an addiction medicine specialist. That's where people are addicted to medicine. And he specializes in, I'm not sure what he might do. He obviously specializes in making excuses for. It's a chronic disease. This must have been a new drug discovered for the chronic disease. It's the new zombie drug. I can't even analyze what this means. All I know is that there's an awful lot of people in Philadelphia, the city of brotherly love, who would rather be paralyzed and unconscious on the ground than living life. And that's a bad sign. And here's what's worse, is that the rest of us are allowing this to happen in our midst. How is it that we could be letting this happen? There needs to be a great awakening, all right. There needs to be a great smack in the head, I think, before there can be a great awakening. And that's probably where we're headed. Is we're not headed for another fake awakening, which most of the alleged awakenings of the past 400 years, they're mostly fake, phony, mostly fake. Yeah. What usually occurs that helps a nation to repent and get back on the right track is they are defeated, robbed, enslaved, and humiliated completely and utterly. And then in their desperation, they call upon the name of the Lord. And so that's probably what's going to have to happen in America. And it's sad that it has to go this way, but this is the way it goes. But you don't have to participate. You can participate with us and actually understand the gospel and get to know Jesus Christ. And then no matter how bad things get, and no matter how many people are paralyzing themselves and sedating themselves around you and buying and selling human beings and trafficking in men's souls, you can know that this is all just a very brief interlude on the way to something much better and much more important. And that's why we're here at the Weekly Worldview, to remind you of that. And Lord willing, we'll be back next week. I want to thank my friends at Real Science Radio. And thank you for being here. And we hope to be back. And until then, may the grace of God go with you. And may the peace of Jesus Christ be upon you.